Hey, you're listening to the Slugger Craft Beverage Podcast, a weekly show with two dudes discussing booze and life and pepper with copious amounts of swearing. I'm John. My co-host Steven and I are just regular beer lovers. We have great palates and plenty of knowledge, but we're not beer snobs. We're not going to fucking talk shit about beer. We're going to just talk about beer. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at SluggerP. You can also reach out to us at jk.rtcbrew@gmail.com or sluggardpodcast@gmail.com. All right, and welcome to the Sluggard. I'm John.
And I'm Steven.
You're getting good at that.
I am. I remembered this time.
And we are here to drink a few beers with you.
My goodness.
So we're starting off with one Steven brought to us today, but it has a wax tip. You don't see as many wax tips as you used to.
No, but it's good for protection.
It is. I mean, the last thing you want is an unexpected, fermentation? I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. All right. But,
and that's how a light beer is created.
Beer packaging has changed over time. Because it used to be there were a lot of, I don't want to call them novelties. I think it was a brewery thought, oh, this looks really cool. I'm going to do it. And it wasn't like, oh, we're going to do this to sell more. We're going to do this because it looks cool. But waxing the tops of your bottles was definitely a thing. And it still is with several beer, some more historic than others.
Correct.
Making a very nice, classy design
but
box.
But none does it as well as Maker's Mark Bourbon. The original wax top.
I actually do like Maker's Mark.
Yes.
But, some do it in a very classy design box. And I don't mind those. And then some coat their neck of the beer in chicken feathers.
Yes, we've had that.
Yeah.
Goes everywhere.
Yeah, it was a terrible mess. I found a feather the other day. My dog ate several. we've seen different novelty packaging over the years, and it seems like beer's starting to kind of venture away from that. Like, maybe size of container is changing constantly.
Which, I'm okay. The novelty thing, it's cool, but it don't make me buy it.
See,
for me,
I am a sucker for a good label. And you've actually said before that sometimes you buy by the label.
But not because of, like, wax and chicken feathers.
No, that gets my attention.
Yeah.
It does.
And this label actually got my attention.
Yes. And,
because it's different.
Well, we'll hold off on that just one second, because I agree. It is bleak as shit. But the packaging has really changed, because now, you know, we have a lot of pounder cans.
Yeah.
Bomber bottles are starting to dissipate a little bit. We're not seeing those as much anymore.
No, not at all.
And that's interesting, because that's why we started bottle share, actually, was because most of the beer we wanted, we could only get in bombers.
Yeah.
And that's a size to share. And I think people finally realize that, and then they realize that a bunch of people are fucking shut-ins or work weird schedules like we do, so you need to have beer you can drink by yourself as well. And the bombers have started to fade out. Not completely, but fade away. And now we get way more pounder cans than I think I can remember ever seeing.
And now, like, as far as what we do on the show, maybe one out of every five might be a bomber bottle?
Yeah. It actually helps our sobriety quite a bit.
Correct.
So anyway, back to what we're doing here. We are drinking this very bleak labeled Winter Opfern. It is a winter ale by Newgrass Brewing Company out of Shelby, North Carolina. It's a rum barrel-aged strong ale brewed with vanilla beans, Montmorency cherries, I might not be saying that right, lactose, and cocoa nibs. 10.2% alcohol by volume, 16.9 fluid ounces per bottle. And you said you bought this down in North Carolina.
In Boone, yes.
Which makes sense, because I've never seen this brewery before. And how do you know the price?
15.
Okay.
16.
And I'm asking before I even take a smell. I want to know the price point going.
Before we even take a smell. The bottle itself is very interesting.
Yes.
This is a winter full moon night with some clouds, maybe a storm's moving in, and there's oddly enough a trail of blood going into the distance.
Yes, there are bloody footprints on the label heading away from the foreground.
I feel like there should be a story on the bottle instead of just what's in the beer.
Like, that is a... I'm not a German speaker, but I'm going to guess that Winter Opfern is Winter Offering, maybe?
Sure.
And we probably could have done some research to learn that, but who the fuck has time for that?
Well, I Googled the brewery and it didn't even list this beer as one of them that they make.
Which is odd, because on Untappd it has a 3.8, so it's a pretty popular beer.
It doesn't even show their label on Untappd, though, which is strange.
Yeah, I saw the other day that a lot of people have stopped using Untappd.
What?
I know, which is crazy. I like Untappd because it just lets me know if I've had it.
What do they use instead?
Well, a lot of the older guys use Beer Advocate.
No.
And maybe it's coming back around.
No.
I don't know. Maybe our buddy James's app finally took off.
Yeah. He started it over there in California, while he's eating sushi and...
He may have. All right, give this thing a sniff. Tell me what you smell. I'm going to let you go first.
It smells like a barley wine, really. I smell barrel aged.
I smell oak barrel and alcohol.
Yeah, I smell alcohol.
Maybe a little lemon. I might get a little lemon in there.
Nah, I don't get that.
You don't get any lemon zest in there?
Nah, I don't know what the other problem is.
I'm sorry. You can tell me I'm full of shit. I get lemon in there.
And you might. I'm a little stopped up, but
I don't know. I'm sure there are other things in this aroma. And the problem with, like, my flavor palate, I'm good. I know.
You are spot on the lemon.
Really?
Yes, in the taste.
Hell yeah. All right. Yeah. But I was going to say, nose-wise.
I apologize.
That's all right.
I assumed you were wrong because you normally are.
That's fair. It's fair. But when I smell things, normally I focus in on one aroma, and I can't get past it. That's why I usually go to you for the aroma. But I'm glad this smells like a beer that could deal with lemon. This might have the Earl Grey that beer we drank earlier should have had.
I'm getting the cherries in the nose, though, but I wasn't getting the
lemon. I could get a little cherry in there, but yeah, I get lemon. All right, well, that validates a little bit of me saying that I have a good palate and flavor, abilities.
Now, palate ain't smell.
I know. I was getting ready to say, now my nose matches it, motherfucker.
Well, I beat you to it.
I know. Let me finish my thought. I know I talk 80% of these fucking things.
Oh, I know. So I got to get my jabs in another 20%.
Let me get 81 today.
No, you will get 75. It's fruitier.
Oh, wow.
Fruitier than what I thought it would be.
That is not what I expected. I'm not saying this is bad.
I need to drink a little bit more of it, though.
That is... The end is maltier than you'd think from the initial taste. It is tart.
Mm-hmm.
So smelling lemon, Steven's just full of shit. You should be able to smell lemon with this beer because it ain't no way it tastes like that.
I told you was right. Do we need to end it there?
Yeah. Well, you can tell you're wrong again, though. And so you will pucker a little bit because when I hear old ale... Rum barrel aged.
Yes.
This is not where my mind goes.
No, this is completely a 180, really. I don't taste the rum.
Very rarely do I say a beer is a mind fuck. I feel like I do it more on this show because we try to find things.
This is really tropical tasting.
Yes. I'll give you that. Yeah. This,
when I think of a winter beer, especially the artistic portrayal that's on the bottle of possible murder in the dead of winter, I don't think of this.
Right. And I was just thinking, shouldn't a Jimmy Buffett album cover go on this label rather than this? Because this is very tropical. You're right. It's warm weather. Yeah. Not a warm weather beer.
No.
But it has warm weather feelings.
Maybe a fall? Fall type beer?
Yeah. Today.
Yeah, right.
Like, what is it, 60? 60?
February. Yeah, right. Yeah. Not February when it's snow and you've done shot. Somebody and they've trailed off into the woods, leaving a blood trail.
Okay, I get a little more rum on my second taste, but actually, I don't think that goes as well with the malt.
The cherry is overwhelming.
It is. The cherry, and I'm still tasting lemon, and I know they don't say there's lemon.
You know what this reminds me of more than anything is a lambic.
Yes, a barrel-aged lambic.
Yeah.
Like, but I mean, like a rum barrel, an alcohol barrel-aged lambic,
right.
Not a normal lambic. Do you wonder? I wonder if Montmorency cherries have a little more of a citrus lemony flavor to them. They'd almost have to. Do you also feel like this brewery wasted their money on vanilla beans, cocoa nibs, and lactose?
I don't taste none of that.
Lactose, I can get the mouthfeel.
But the vanilla, no.
It lingers like a lactose beer. No, I get no vanilla, which if you wanted that just tiny hint of it that might be there, but I can't get past the fruit flavors, you could have got that from the barrel.
Right.
And the cocoa nibs were a fucking waste. There is no cocoa nib in this this flavor.
The danger to this, I could almost drink the whole thing right now at 10% alcohol.
I could. The finish doesn't really sit well with me.
It don't bother me. The finish don't bother me. Huh. I like it.
I could not pound this.
I like it, but it's misrepresented.
Yes. I feel like they are a victim of their own label art.
Yes.
Because I was expecting... We saved this to do because we thought this would be a cold weather beer.
Yes.
We thought this would be something that would want us to be insulated on the inside... And, you know, kind of be able to be like, oh, yeah, this makes me feel roasty toasty. No, this makes me want to get fucking barefoot.
Right. Yes, this should be a beach scene with possibly bloody footprints going into the ocean. I don't know.
Yeah, we can put bloody footprints in the ocean. That's fine.
If you're going to let this brewery know we've tried this beer, ask them why there are bloody footprints going on and why. Because yes. They can't put an explanation somewhere. So.
Yes, I agree, especially since their website never mentions the beer.
My mind is running rampant, and several things are Nazi-related, you know, thinking, you know what I mean? Because it's German.
Okay, you're right.
Is this a World War II thing?
Winteroffern is
this a World War II thing? Yes. Did someone get shot?
I wonder if this was an existing painting, maybe, and then they said, oh, that would make a great label. I don't know. But
it's nice.
Now, this is a good beer, right? We both like this beer.
I like it.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Yeah, I like this beer. So, if you were going to rate this as a Jimmy Buffett song.
Thank God you went that route. I thought you were going to say a World War II battle.
No, we would have both said D-Day and then been fucked.
Not on that picture.
No, you're right. Okay, a Jimmy Buffett song. How would you rate this beer? I know you want me to go first because I know Jimmy Buffett songs.
I don't know any Jimmy Buffett songs. I know Cheeseburger in Paradise and Margaritaville.
Do either of those fit this beer?
I can eat a cheeseburger while I'm eating it, drinking this.
Oh, there you go. Cheeseburger in Paradise is your recommendation.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's go with that.
I am going to go West Nashville Grand Ballroom Gowns. You know why? Because the last line of the song is literally a big fuck you to the norm. A big fuck you to what society thinks you should be. The last line of the whole song is, and fuck all those West Nashville Grand Ballroom Gowns. About how society wants you to be one thing and you want to be another. This beer is rebelling over what a winter beer should be. It is giving the middle finger to all the beer people who say, no, this can't be a winter beer. That's my recommendation.
I feel like you've looked too deeply into a Jimmy Buffett song.
That is one of my favorite Jimmy Buffett songs. Now, to be clear, I've seen Jimmy Buffett 16 times now. So if there is a cult, I'm in it.
All right. Those are our Jimmy Buffett songs. Battles, Stalingrad.
Battle of the Bulge? Is that World War II?
No.
Then don't ask. All right. To be clear, Steven is obviously more into history than I am. I am actually listening to a podcast on history.
People froze to death during blizzards during Stalingrad. That's why I was...
Great. Okay, that's a great recommendation. Why you got shit on mine?
I thought of this while you were giving this unnecessarily long, detailed description of a Jimmy Buffett song that he clearly wrote while intoxicated in flip-flops.
Now, to be clear, Jimmy Buffett is a businessman, motherfucker.
He is. He's smart. He has made money.
He has even said, people see me as one thing and pay me money to put on a show as that thing.
He is smart.
Yeah.
Musician, Songwriter? Yeah, pretty.
There we go. I was going to say, lyricist, he is top notch.
Not my cup of tea.
But you understand why. I appreciate it. Yes. Okay, we are halfway through this goddamn episode, by the way. We've got to stop. Okay, we are going to move on to beer number two. That was Winter Opfern by Newgrass Brewing Company. And it is a damn good beer. Buy it and buy any of their other shit and come share it with us. We'd love to meet you. All right, let's do a change of pace.
Sounds good.
Yeah, you know, we did a German-sounding beer just now with that Winter Opfern. Now let's do a hardcore German Mamma Jamma.
Hardcore.
All right, this is the Eich original Schlenkerla Marzen smoke beer, a Rösch beer, which, if anybody doesn't know, a Rösch beer is made with smoked malts. Like, you literally do smoke it just like you would a meat or something like that. All right? And so this is an import from Germany. I'll read the label. It says, Eich, original Schlenkerla Marzen smoke beer, considered the classic example in its category, has been brewed for centuries in the Baroque town of Bamberg in Franconia, Bavaria, Germany. Following the most ancient malting traditions, all its select barley malts are kilned over a fire of beechwood logs at the Schlenkerla Maltings. Brewed in classic copper vessels and matured months in the 14th century cellars. Eich Schlenkerla Rösch beer is a truly unique smoky beer experience. As one of the last traditionally made smoked beers, this is a passenger in the Ark of Taste by Slow Food. I don't know what that is necessarily, but their website is www.smokebeer.com.
So what I'm getting from all this is that we should detect notes of smoke.
I think that is what they're implying, that it should have an aroma and taste like a charcoal briquette.
Oh, okay.
This is 5.1 alcohol by volume, and it is in a 1 pint, 9 fluid ounce bottle.
I feel like, just as you read that, that the alcohol level is too low for a smoked beer. When I think smoke, I want hearty,
right,
beefy,
you want
big.
Something a little chewy. You yeah. want something, not the taste, but the consistency of a marshmallow.
Like a Lagavulin 16-year-old Isla whiskey, which is my favorite of all time. Someone send that in. We will review it. I will review it.
I'll review it, yeah. this... It doesn't have a peaty aroma, but it has, you know, a smoked aroma much like that peat would have in a scotch.
I smell a little smoke. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Not the hardcoreness, the depth of the peat. And
I guess that's the beechwood. So isn't that what Anheuser-Busch uses, beechwood?
I think it is, actually.
So really, your Bud Light is just a cousin of this, is what I'm getting.
Yeah,
but, It's a very rich brown, very clear. I mean, crystal clear. It's German beer. They got to.
Like a porter. Yeah. Almost looks like a porter.
Nice, thin layer, tan head over the top. Yeah, maybe a hair lighter than a porter, but definitely darker than copper. You're right. But it's a beautiful looking beer. What do you get on your flavors there?
I do get the smoke. It's actually, because, you know, we discussed this before. We've had this before. I like it better than the last time I had it, I believe.
I do too.
It ain't bad.
I still say, and you can disagree, that it does have a little bit of a cheese flavor to it.
I disagree with that.
Yeah. I don't even want to go smoked Gouda. Gouda's too light of cheese, but like a smoked American.
Right.
Like you took a Kraft single and put it on your smoker for a while.
And I can relate to that. I can't relate to fancy cheeses such as Gouda. Or brie. I've never had brie before. Had brie.
Oh,
no.
We should do a cheese episode.
It looks good.
Yeah.
We should rate this based off of cheeses.
How many cheeses do you know?
I just named them.
Oh, okay.
No, wait. Parmesan, mozzarella.
The Italian ones.
White American, yellow American.
Is Kraft a type?
Velveeta is. It's its own cheese
that
type.
That is disgusting.
Anything that you don't have to keep refrigerated like that, because I don't think you do with the big... That, there's something wrong there.
Velveeta's like government cheese. That's what you used to get, I think.
It is.
Was Velveeta-like stuff.
I don't think there's actually cheese in Velveeta cheese.
I'm not shocked.
But no,
you know what this tastes like? A smoked Bock.
I'd agree with that, because
yeah.
you lose a lot of the sweetness of the Marzen because of the smoke.
Yeah.
And Bocks aren't near as sweet.
No. And so it's a fairly weak Bock.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what... I'm underneath the smokiness, and I mean, it is... like you're licking your grill once you get done and it cools down. There is a lot of smoke there for sure.
I would have really liked if this would have been a little bigger beer. It's a little watery for a smoke.
Yeah, I agree. About a 7%.
Yeah.
I think that mouthfeel would be up there. You could raise your malt level up as well. Now, I think I did a little research on this beer way back when, and so I might be talking about a different beer, but I think this beer was actually made by accident. Because, well, not by accident, but by necessity, because, like, their malt house caught on fire, and all the malt got smoked, and they're like, yeah, fuck it, we'll use it anyway. And that's how they actually developed the Roche beer, the smoked beer.
You can't waste
style.
It.
Style, yeah. It's definitely an interesting beer.
It is.
And that's why I got it again. I thought we had it before, but I was like, oh, it's a German Marzen, we should do one of those. It's a smoked beer, we should do one of those. And I remember that we were both... Not put off by it, but maybe not necessarily settled with it.
Right.
Like we need to definitively say, do we like this or not?
Mm-hmm.
And still at the moment, I've only taken a couple sips. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm kind of up in the air about it. Of course, you know, this style in theory I should really love. I like smoky flavors and stuff, but yeah. I've never had a beer in this style that I can say I really, really liked.
I agree. I think you should have beer that goes well with smoky things, mm-hmm. but one of those things should not be your beer itself. That's the way I've always looked at it.
Would you pair this with smoked food? Or would it be too much?
I don't think I would. I don't think I would, because then what if you didn't smoke your food this good? Then you're like, oh, shit. And then it brings out the flaws in your food, maybe.
I don't have flaws in my smoked food.
Oh. You know what I would eat with this? No lie. I would eat a tuna melt with this.
That come in your head there.
Because I like a good tuna melt, and I would go with something with protein, something with a little bit of fat.
Oh, yeah, you would need some protein. Definitely.
But I would not necessarily do this with a smoked, you know, thing. That's just my opinion anyway.
Yeah, I would agree. Definitely, I can't think of smoke just going with this. But I don't know what food I'd pair it with, though. Because I would be afraid it would ruin the food.
I can understand that. It would come very close to taking over your meal. Chocolate cake.
Maybe so.
I think I could do
German chocolate cake.
I don't like German chocolate cake.
What?
You know what I learned the other day? Actually, it was on another beer podcast I listened to. German chocolate cake invented in Texas.
That's weird.
Yeah. The guy's last name was German.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's right. Because, like, when you look at traditional German desserts, it's Black Forest. That's German. Not German chocolate.
Okay.
I look up German recipes sometimes.
I do too.
I like Oktoberfest.
Went to a big German place in Manhattan the other day when we were there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, the Reichenbach Beer Hall. Oh, it's cool. So good. Oh.
What'd you get? What food?
We did a whole bunch of share plates because we were watching the UVA Tech game. And so we got a couple pretzels because they had different mustards and we wanted to try them all. And then we got a Jaeger schnitzel, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
Anything with gravy. Anyway, now I like schnitzel. We got some currywurst.
Was that any good?
Yes, it was. Some kielbasa. Dad wanted it, so we got that. And another pretzel. My wife likes a good pretzel. And their beer cheese wasn't bad either. But yeah, it was really good. Cheese. They had really good cabbage, and I don't even like red cabbage.
Oh, I love red cabbage.
And I can eat theirs. I don't like German potato salad, and I couldn't eat theirs either. It just didn't go over well for me.
German potato salad's like a once in a while type deal.
I don't like potato salad, period. Why the fuck are we talking about German food?
And I love salad? German food, though.
All right. Well, okay. You wanted to do sauerkraut. A cheese. You wanted to do a cheese. What kind of cheese would you rank this as?
Parmesan.
Why?
I don't know. I think I just feel like it'd pair well together, so that's why I said Parmesan.
Okay. All right. I was initially going to say blue because of the robust flavor of it, the punch it packs, but I really think I'm going to go with like a Vermont white cheddar. So it's
you're
sharp.
Pairing it with an American cheese.
I am, yeah. So it's sharp, but it's not super, super in your face sharp, and it's still got a lovely flavor. I could eat a brick of Vermont white cheddar with this beer. Oh, that's the food pair.
Can I recant my Parmesan?
Sure.
Do you know when you bought that ghost pepper cheese? That would pair well with this.
Spice would go well with this. Yes. Right. Yes. All right. Well, now this has been our food podcast. Enjoy. We also drank a beer.
We have now branched off into a second podcast.
All right, we're gonna need our break. All right. Well, this is a lot of beer we still have to finish, so we're gonna take our break real quick. We'll be right back. Hey, and we're back. Hey, now before we get going, I gotta tell you something. We've talked about Charles Bronson on this show before. Might have been our first episode, actually. Or one of our first long ones.
Because we couldn't wait till the second episode.
That's probably it. Now, I don't particularly love Charles Bronson because he can't act for shit. I mean, he's dead now. He really can't act. But when he was alive, he couldn't act for shit. But I watched a movie the other day with Charles Bronson that is so ridiculous, I felt the need to tell people about it on here so they could enjoy it if they want. It's called From Noon to Three.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of it?
No.
Okay, it's a comedy. So Charles Bronson is trying to make a comedy, and it was him and his wife or girlfriend, girl he was seeing, right? Mm-hmm. So, let me just give you some of the more ridiculous points of this film. They need to get a new horse for him, so they go to this house outside of town before they go in to rob a bank. And the only person at the house is this very attractive lady. So after seeing this, Charles Bronson decides he better not go. He needs to stay there. They couldn't find a horse, anything like that. And he does this in a cool, calculated manner to rape her. And
this is a comedy?
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. All right. And so that he does sexually assault her on screen.
No means no.
Yeah, you'd think. But because it's made in like the 60s, 70s, like all those movies back then, if you're good enough at sex, in the middle of the rape, they'll change their mind and actually love you, which is what this girl does. And so they end up falling in love and all this shit. Oh no, it gets worse. So then later, he's on the run from a posse. And because he's such the hero of this story, he sees a stranger with a like covered wagon, knocks the stranger out, switches clothes with him. No, switches clothes with him, and leaves him there with his horse, and he takes the covered wagon. And the posse finds the guy and kills him. See? Hilarious.
Yeah.
Fucking ridiculous thing.
This had to have been written by Charles Bronson.
Oh, wait. It gets better. So anyway, the guy he did switch ideas with was also a criminal. So he goes to jail for like 5 years, something like that. When he comes out, he goes to meet his, you know, rape victim who he's in love with. And she no longer recognizes him. So do you want to take a guess on how he proves his identity?
Rapes her.
Almost. Pulls his dick out, and she goes, "It is you."
I feel like you're making this.
I'm not. That is the most ridiculous, inappropriate bullshit I've ever seen.
So that's his identifying mark right there.
Yes, that's his trademark, to quote a guy we know here in town.
Oh my god.
When I saw this movie, I was like, okay, A, I gotta tell Steven, but B, I should tell him on the podcast. But yeah, From Noon to Three, check it out. You know why? Because that's how long he raped her. I mean, first off, no way in hell that movie gets made today.
Right.
Second off, no way in hell anyone goes to that movie today. Right. Oh, my Lord. Anyway.
He made some classics, let me tell you.
Let's drink beer.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. We're going to move on and get to our final beer. And this is a Wicked Weed, which we've had this brew before. We like Wicked Weed.
Mm-hmm.
They're good stuff. And it's their Bourbon Barrel Aged Milk and Cookies Imperial Milk Stout.
Which, that's a terrific name for a beer.
It is. And it's made with golden raisins, cinnamon, and vanilla. So, all things that go in cookies. And then you got a nice, good milk stout on top of that. Now, for those of you who don't know, Wicked Weed is out of Asheville, North Carolina. This is sold in a 12.7 fluid ounce bottle and 11.3% alcohol by volume. When they printed the label, I don't think they knew what the final gravity was going to be. And that's why the ABV is printed on separate. It's etched on after the label was printed.
This is a year old, by the way.
Okay, so it's been aged a bit. All right, well, it's a nice, deep black. Like, you can see a little residual light around the edges. Get a little bit. Nice, deep tan head. You're not going to talk?
I was actually thinking about the beer. I just took a sip.
Okay.
And this is a wonderful beer.
Oh, yeah.
I've not had the bourbon barrel aged version. I had the regular version. And my complaint with the original version was it's a little thin for me. This is not. This is terrific.
You get the barrel up front. That's the first thing you get on the nose. But after that, I get a lot of the raisin.
Yeah, a lot of raisin.
A little bit of the cinnamon, like they're advertising. I get a lot of raisin, and it smells like a como de leche.
Yeah.
Like that kind of thing. That's what I get a lot of aroma with. But it's like one that you baked raisins into.
Right.
Or something. That's very, very good on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't got to the taste.
This should be a scented candle.
Yeah. You say that about a lot of beers we have.
I'm not. Well, I love the smell of them. Like, yeah. Hazy IPA, scented candle.
You dab a little behind your ears when you go out.
That's right.
Yeah. That's how he goes on the prowl.
That's, yeah, yeah.
When he hits the nursing homes.
Yeah. Right before my rape night, I put a little beer right here.
He pulls down his pants like, oh, Steven's here.
Yeah.
Just like Charles Bronson.
Except my movie wouldn't be from noon to 3. It would be noon to 12:05.
Damn. I wish I'd thought of that joke. Holy fuck, this is a good beer.
It's really good.
It is it's like a snickerdoodle cookie dunked in bourbon.
This might rival gingerbread stout.
I would go that far, absolutely. Yes. And I think we've let it warm up adequately too with my ramblings about 1970s movies.
Right.
And so it's warmed up really well, and so it's at the right temperature to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
This is excellent.
Got a nice depth to it. Yeah. Nice chewiness to it.
Yeah. I was actually not planning on liking this as much as I did. Because, really? I've had several variations of this beer. They do a couple different styles of milk and cookies. And this, I think, is the best one.
And you drank this, and the title is just spot on, milk and cookies.
Yeah.
I taste it all.
Yeah, I agree. And the bourbon doesn't cover up the lactose, the milk.
Right, yeah.
It really doesn't. And that's usually the first thing. Even on, like, bourbon barrel-aged gingerbread stout by Hardywood, the first thing to go is the creaminess.
Yep.
And this has it. It's still there.
This
I like how the head's sticking with it. Oh, you got Lacey on your... Oh, man. This is just a well-made beer.
See, and they're known for their sours more so than anything now, but this is a lot better than any of their sours.
Oh, I agree. But you're right. They have their Funkatorium, and they do make good sours. Oh, yeah. I'm getting a little raisin now after my second sip.
I like golden raisins a lot more so than black raisins.
I love raisins. Currants, prunes, plums. I love it. Love them. It's one of my favorite fruits.
Helps you poop.
It does. Thank you for that. That was Steven. He contributed today.
Yeah. Fun fact. Read it on WebMD.
Yeah. WebMD. Where you go for all your fruit needs. But, man, should I read the label on this thing?
Is it entertaining?
I don't know. I haven't read it yet.
Well, we'll find out.
Crafting the ultimate comfort beer was a winter challenge we happily embraced. Our milk and cookie stout is a cold weather classic, and this version cranks up the comfort through barrel aging. We entrusted our Imperial Milk Stout with golden raisins, cinnamon, and vanilla into the warming embrace of a Kentucky bourbon barrel to carry us home for the holidays. Relax, drink up, you're home.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I thought so too. I teared up a little.
Yes. And I tell you, we've been going here to this brewery for years. I've always loved the name. It's a wonderful name, Wicked Weed. Yep. Nice brewery. I always go downstairs. Don't drink upstairs.
Yep, I agree. I can't get Miranda to go downstairs.
Why?
I don't know. She's not a big fan of Wicked Weed.
What?
They're owned by AB and Bev, and she's got a hang up about AB and Bev.
As long as it's good beer, it don't matter.
Well, and I told her, I was like, if we're going to have that hang up, eventually we're not going to be able to drink beer.
That's about right.
Because, I mean, I can think of 3 good breweries that are owned by AB and Bev. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. All right, let's rank this sucker. All right, because we've been talking about Bronson, Action Star.
Clint Eastwood.
Why? Milk and Cookies reminds you of Clint Eastwood?
No. Clint Eastwood's at the top echelon of action movies. Always has been. Even now, in his late 80s.
He don't act anymore.
It don't matter. In interviews, he talks like a badass.
And he is a rough and tough tumble guy. I can understand where you're coming from.
This is a top echelon beer.
When I'm putting beer to Clint Eastwood, though, I would think like an old ale, a barley wine.
But the disappointing thing is he don't drink beer. He also don't smoke or nothing.
Yeah. He's a vegetarian.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I started watching more John Wayne movies.
I don't like John Wayne as much.
I don't either, but the vegetarian thing, knowing that he's a vegetarian then watching Dirty Harry, especially the hot dog scene where he spells ketchup before he has pulled the 44 Magnum and go get the people that are robbing the bank.
Yeah.
It must have been a veggie dog. And so that bothers me at this point.
I'm sorry.
Little known fact, as he was crossing the street to apprehend the bank robbers, in the background is a movie theater, and on the billboard it says, "Play Misty for me," which is one of his other movies.
It is. I knew that, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I would rank this. I'm going to go all the way to the top. This is Arnold. This is Schwarzenegger. Ah. No, now if you think about action star, like action from opening to end of movie, Eastwood's slow burn. Arnold is punch up front, punch in the back.
That's true. Kindergarten Cop.
That's the one I'm thinking of. Milk and Cookies, Kindergarten Cop. That's this beer.
This, then nap time.
My dad looks at vaginas all day long.
Who is your daddy, and what does he do?
His head is so big that he can't wear any hats.
We need to watch that.
We really should. We could do a live podcast of us just watching Kindergarten Cop.
He needs to remake that. Kindergarten Cop 2.
Those kids are in their 20s now.
I'm tired. Now. I mean, you can use different kids, but I'm tired of seeing new Terminators. Burnt out.
No, I saw the new Terminator. Don't waste your time.
What's the one?
Linda Hamilton that kicks ass. She was awesome.
What's the Schwarzenegger movie where it's relatively recent, like after his governor and all that, where he was chasing like a criminal, was heading to the border, and Johnny Knoxville was in it and stuff?
Oh, I own that. Not Sabotage, something else.
No, Sabotage
Standoff. Standoff.
That was a good movie.
That was pretty good. I was surprised because I don't like Johnny Knoxville.
I think he's funny. Yeah. I don't like him in Jackass, but...
Yeah, I never cared for him much. But that was a good movie. All right, anyway, this has been the Sluggard Podcast where we talk about German food and movies a shit ton. I'm John.
I'm Steven.
And you can hit us up on Twitter at Sluggard Podcast. Nope, at Sluggard P. You can find us on Facebook, Sluggard Podcast. Email us at jk.rtcbrew@gmail.com or sluggardpodcast@gmail.com. Cheers.
Cheers.